Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in world of internet, wherever you happen to be, on whenever you're listening. And more people listen after the show than during the show, but whenever it is, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose. But listen, May 8th, 2020, at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, I'm looking out my window and it is snowing. That's right, it is snowing. It was raining for most of the day. Just about 2 minutes before we went live, it turned to snow. Now, it's not going to accumulate, but it's going down to 27 tonight, Fahrenheit. For my Celsius friends, that would be about minus 2. And so May the 8th, yesterday I went out and bought some garden plants, and I just ran out and brought them back in. I didn't plant them. I knew this was coming, not the snow, but the cold weather. And so it's going to be another week before we really see temperatures anything resembling what we usually have during the spring. I'm not complaining because God has been good to us during this pandemic, but the weather has been one of the worst parts. It has been restrictive and cold, but we've stayed busy. And as you're aware, I had two interesting things today. Just want to share with you. One is we had a little Chinese restaurant down the hill from us that we loved. We would usually do takeout, and it was a family. The two children would be there with the mother and the father, and we just loved going there and loved them. And March the 17th, they closed down, and we just kept hoping they were going to reopen. And so just about 15 minutes before we went on the air, I was on another phone call, and I got this voice message. It was, and when I listened to it, it was our owner saying that she had opened back up again today. So we're really, really delighted with that. And as there's a lot of economic hardship, and there's unfortunately, I believe there's a lot more to come. So that was just a little bit of good news. Secondly, this show, and I used to do blog radio years ago, and I'm a big fan of it. It's really a podcast within a network, and so it's fun for me just to see how God uses it. So this week we've added listeners in Cameroon, in Ivory Coast, and in Spain, in France. But on Tuesday, when I did the show with Irene from Kenya, somebody from Australia was listening. And so he is a Kenyan. And so we have connected, and we're supposed to talk in about 3 hours, which will be 8 p.m. my time, but it will be 10 a.m. Saturday in Australia. And boy, it's been years since I've been in Australia. He is in Melbourne. And so this is kind of following up on what we talked about the other day with a purpose network. Somehow connecting people around the world that are focusing on the topic of purpose in their lives, in their organizations, and in their ministries. And I think the purpose is going to play an important role in the new normal, in the coming age, that where people are going to, we're back to having to be entrepreneurial, having to, some of the things we've gotten very used to may not be there. And I'm not sure that's, I want to be careful how I say this, but let me give you an example. How many more breweries do we need? I mean, you know, that seems to be where we've been putting a lot of creativity and a lot of economic energy. But, you know, if we were taking a vote of whether we had enough brews available on the market, I would be one to vote that we have. And my point is that I think this is going to cause some people to take their focus off certain areas, entertainment, leisure, food, and put their creativity into other efforts that are going to be needed down the road. And for me, that's purpose-driven. That's something, that's part of who they are. It's something they see that they may assume everybody else sees, that but everybody else doesn't. And we're going to talk to a very dynamic woman today on our show. Ola Jackson, for 29 years, has been the president of an organization called OWN, and that's the Onyx Woman Network. And she has been a voice and given a voice to women in business via her magazine and her blog and her podcast. And I've never seen a website that is just so chock full of activities and stories and it's just an expression of Ola's creativity and the team that she has. So in a few minutes, we're going to bring her on, and we're going to talk about her journey. And she had a milestone event in her life this week. So you stay tuned. Ola Jackson will be joining us in just a moment. And you really want to hear her story, but again, not just to enjoy it and savor it, but to learn from it and to say, if this is what Ms. Jackson could do, what can I do? And she's going to tell us, I don't know her full story, but I think she's going to tell us she started from nothing, I mean, with an idea. And that idea has taken root and has put forth a lot of fruit. And so we want to hear from her in just a minute. And so if you're a regular on this show, or if you're not, I start every show with a reading of Psalm 91. I do this because years ago I was in Afghanistan, and it was very tense, and I had a very international team, people from Korea, people from the Philippines, people from Canada, Singapore, and we would meet every morning at 7 o'clock for prayer, and believe me, we prayed, and then we would recite from the same version. They asked us to bring a certain version of the Bible. We would recite together Psalm 91. It was so comforting. It was so, it anchored our day as we went out into a culture that was very tense, and we stood out. No matter who we were, we stood out as not being regulars, not being residents. So I like to read Psalm 91, and I've been doing it for these 6 weeks from a different version every show. And ironically, we have not run out of versions yet. Today I want to read from the 21st century King James Version. The KJ21 is the abbreviation. And again, Psalm 91 is not the best example of how various translations will deal with interpretation issues in the Bible. But I just think if we read it from different perspectives with different words, maybe it will strike a chord and have even more meaning for us. So the 21st century King James Version of Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that layeth waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, we've been reading this as an affirmation of faith in light of the medical situation that is in the world. But as I've been saying the last couple of weeks, we're also reading this in the context of the economic situation that is present. And we're going to need Psalm 91, I think, as much for economics as we have for medicine. And so, but at any rate, that is the 21st century King James Version. But without further ado, let me bring on our guest for today, Ola Jackson. And Ola, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose. It's an honor to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's you know, we've met one time, although I've followed you mm-hmm. on Facebook and certainly know who you are and know many of the women that you have honored. But before mm-hmm. we get into all that, I think you had a very special milestone this week. Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yes, a big 6-0 on May the 4th. I turned 60. I tell you, I don't feel anything like it. I don't know what mm-hmm. it was supposed to feel like, but I just still feel as if I'm 40 years old. So it's this number that looks big, but I just can't fit into it yet.
Right, right.
But it's certainly a milestone.
Yes, it is. Well, happy birthday from all of the Wake Up to Purpose audience and listeners. And in April, I turned the big 7-0, so I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, my. Well, thank you. And, oh, my God. And happy belated to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I feel good. And but as I tell people, I'm looking up at the scoreboard clock, and I see it ticking down. I just can't see the time that's left on it. So that's when why I want to make the most of every day. Now, I saw some pictures on Facebook. How did you celebrate? I mean, we're in the middle of a, you know, shelter in place, but I think mm-hmm. your family did some special things for you.
Yes. I am a seafood fanatic, and so my husband prepared a lot of seafood. My brother dropped off a big thing of crab legs, and so every mm-hmm. seafood I liked was on that plate, and I just enjoyed it. And I thought that I would be miserable because you have to stay in, but I realized there's so much to be thankful for that it didn't bother mm-hmm. me anymore.
Yeah, yeah. How has the pandemic, everything okay in your family? How has it impacted your world or your life? Or are you carrying on, or how are things gone?
Yes, the best as possible. My husband works for UPMC, so he still has to go out there. I actually drive him to and from work because I don't want him catching mm-hmm. the bus. And my son, because his program is shut down, he's now home, but I've always mm-hmm. been home-based, so I'm accessible to him. So if I had mm-hmm. a 9-to-5 job and had to go in, that would be different. And I also have to keep him active so that he's mm-hmm. not just sitting around. So it has impacted mm-hmm. everyone, but I try to make the best out of any situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just ask myself now what and proceed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when I posted the show was going to be on, you wrote comment. You said, "I love sharing my story. It has been almost 30 years. I have so much to share about how to turn obstacles into opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to share some wisdom that is so badly needed right now." But
right.
I think you mentioned your husband and your son, and they figured prominently in your story 30 years ago when you got started, didn't they?
Oh, sure. My husband and I had just gotten married, and about a year after we got married, my son was born, and 2 years after that, he was having some developmental issues. And back then, mm-hmm. what they did with children, opposed to giving a child a label right away, they mm-hmm. simply referred to it as a developmentally delayed, and it wasn't a permanent label as they are doing now. They waited for more tests and more development. And a few years later, he was officially labeled as autistic. And so at that point, we had to take that obstacle and decide, so what do we do? What do we mm-hmm. do to accommodate his needs and at the same time make sure that it doesn't come across in our lives as something that we've given up so much for? So mm-hmm. I decided to start my business because I would be accessible to him, and that was very important, whether it was appointments or just being the first face that he would see when he got home. And so I started this home-based business where I specialize in public relations. And so mm-hmm. I did special events, I placed people on the media, and I did job training events. And so a few years later, what I did was out of the need for I saw a need where there were women who were attending my workshops who weren't exactly paying attention. And I said, well, let me make this an opportunity as well. Everything became an opportunity. That could have been an obstacle as well, but I said, I'm going to start a publication where they can just take it home with them, the same information, and learn at their leisure. And so I never anticipated ever publishing anything, and I have this 8-page black and white newsletter that I just brought throughout the city and placed out free of charge. And so here I was able to meet the needs of my son by making that obstacle and turning it around. And then with the students at the class, I said, let me do something to address them. So it's always looking at something. And first of all, you have to see it as a defining moment. And I relate that to what's going on now. This is a defining moment for you to say, this, for one, my life will never be the same. When I realized that my son had autism and that he was never, ever going to not be autistic, it was to define the future decisions of my life. This situation we're in now, things will change as we have never, ever seen them before, because we've never seen this before. And so when somebody's coming out of the initial shock, because we go through the shock and we can't move, we're shocked, and then we finally accept, this is what it is. Now, what do I do? And I know a lot of entrepreneurs who they're not going back to that business. They can't. We're not going to be doing the same things in the same way that may have benefited their business in the past. And so they have to say, how do I turn this into some other type of opportunity where I can move on and move in a different direction? I always tell people, don't say you quit. Just say I took a detour. And so many of us are on a detour.
I like the way you frame things. It's so important to frame our circumstances. And you're framing it as a defining moment. You're framing it as an opportunity. There's almost an excitement. You know, we've never been this way before. There are going to be opportunities. Let's address those. Now, when you said you started workshops almost 30 years ago, what did you see then? What was the need, the opportunity that you noticed, just like those who were in your workshops weren't paying attention and you decided to start a publication? What were you seeing even before that you were addressing with your workshops?
What was happening, that was a time when they were changing the laws and came up with welfare to work. And so what was happening, they were saying to young women, now you are going to have to get a job. We're no longer going to allow you to simply be on welfare. You are going to have to be trained to go back into the workforce. And so therefore, these are the tools you're going to need. We're going to teach you resume skills, interviewing skills, how to dress. Those are what was needed. And so those are the types of things that were addressed in that newsletter. And they certainly had to have those skills because things were going to change. That was their defining moment for them to sit and say, okay, how do I take the things that I had learned or experienced and turn that into a resume when maybe I haven't worked outside the home in several years, but how do I take the fact that I balance my budget or I'm managing these kids? So you take what things that you may have been miserable about and saw as obstacle and say, I'm going to say, this is what I did, put it on my resume, and get a job. So it is how you look at life. It really is.
And so you say now you developed this 8-page newsletter, and you took it out for free. You just distributed it as you could. You make it sound so matter-of-fact, but that was a major step, I'm sure.
And it evolved. Just as what's going on now, we have to find a way to evolve because that's the only way you grow. That eight-page
mm-hmm.
newsletter grew to 16 pages. We added color. We added even more pages. We eventually put it on a newsstand. So it was just evolving, in which each step I took a risk. I had to put more money into it. I had to do my own research. I went around collecting other free publications. I didn't want to call them and ask for information because I may have been somewhat of a competitor. I had to measure their advertisements in their paper to see how much they were actually charging. So I had to go backwards and think, okay, this is this size by that size. How much did they charge for this paper? And then I went and I saw who was writing for all those papers. I called those same people and asked them to write for me. I told them I was smaller, so I can pay less money. And so that became the creativity and that struggle of having to figure it out. You have to figure it out because there were other things at stake in order for me to maintain my true goal, which was being there for my son. There were some other things I had to do to make that happen, and I had to figure all that out. And so the magazine grew to a full-blown publication with subscriptions. It went all over the country. The workshops grew. We were having maybe 10 at one time to a point where we had to turn people away. So during all that struggle, at the end, when I look back and reflect, of how I got here, the process, and I tell people all the time, you have to understand this is the process. In this microwave society that we live in, you just can't say, oh, you know, I'm going to start this, I'm going to get here quick. No, it may take, I tell people, it may take years. You have to build it. You build relationships. You learn how to charge for your fees. You learn how to negotiate. And you learn how to continuously build relationships with the right people. There's so much to learn that you didn't learn in college. So they don't teach you that in college in a lot of cases. A lot of stuff that I've learned, sometimes I might not have even applied, but I had to be creative enough. Because when I was in college, I only wanted to take creative courses. And although I should have been taking accounting and everything else, I was too maybe overly focused on being creative.
Now, were you ever, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Ola Jackson, the founder of the Onyx Woman Network. But Ola, were you ever afraid? I mean, or how did you deal with your fears? And was there ever a time when you thought it's over? I can't do this. I can't go on.
That is such a good question because so many people are fearful. And I always say, I'm fearful all the time. Every time I try something new, there is fear involved. But the difference is I don't allow fear to be a determining factor in making a decision because fear has seldom killed anybody. You have yet to go to the hospital and say, you know, this person just passed out of due to fear, or that's not, so therefore I don't put that much weight on it because I have to start something new, and I never know the outcome if I don't do it. So fear is always there. I just eliminate the whole fact that fear can be a factor in the decision. I just proceed, and if it doesn't work, life goes on.
Yeah, and many people, I think, are waiting for the fear to subside or go away before they act. But if I'm hearing you correctly, and I would concur, it's always there. It's the shadow that's always lurking.
And people are afraid to come out of their comfort zone. But the comfort zone really is a danger zone. Because when you get to that comfort zone, that's that place where you're afraid to leap, you're afraid to go out of your distance, and you're just afraid to move because you're just so comfortable, and you've always done it that way, and why change? Well, this is what's going on now. It's making people have to come out. You're being forced to have to think differently so that you can get different results. You have to. You cannot come out of this the same way. You just can't.
Indeed, I agree. Totally agree. OWN, Onyx Woman Network. Where did that emerge? Tell us a little bit about the name and what you wanted it to represent, and anything else that would be of interest.
Well, it came out because the magazine was Onyx Woman, and so then when we began to grow the workshops, it became a network. And so the acronym was the Onyx Woman Network, so it felt OWN. And I remember when I sent a friend of mine a letter, and I had it on the masthead, and then she said, "Oh, weren't you clever?" I said, "What? It spells OWN. That is really something." And so I proceeded with that for all my events, and it just grew. That was the next step. It was the Onyx Woman Network. And after our 25th anniversary, I published our last hard copy magazine. And I just could never foresee never publishing again. But again, it was evolving. I was getting older. I was changing to fit my new market. And that's when we came up with a new blog called Your Stylish Ways that focuses on self-care. And so, yeah, that was the next evolution, because you have to keep moving. You can't stay in the same place. And so what I did with Your Stylish Ways, because I knew that the people who started with us, those women, they too were reaching their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they had a new mindset. They were asking the question, well, what about me? And they were still saying, I'm not done yet, yet I'm being excluded from advertising, from just almost being invisible. So that was the next move, because you can't stay in the same place. And so that grew, and women started writing about that, and we started getting attention about that. So it fit me perfectly, because just like the magazine, when Honest Woman came out, I was the Honest Woman. That same thing, I was that woman. And then when I became that other woman in my next chapter, this is what focused on it. And it's something, because as a result of starting that magazine, I traveled the country. I went to South Africa. And I thought, what if I would have not done that? What if I did not stand there that day and just say, you know, I'm just going to go home. They're not paying attention. I'm not going to do anything. But I didn't do that. I said, I'm going to go ahead and start just an 8-page magazine. And the irony is, our very last hard copy issue, when I went into the stores, it was next to the copy of Michelle Obama on the cover. And so I took a picture. Here was my magazine with me on the cover next to the first black first lady. I said, "Wow! See what happens when you step out there."
Yeah, yeah. That you were in good company.
Yes, I
was. Where was the concept of onyx? Why pick onyx? What was the mineral, or what was so special about onyx that you chose it as the original name?
When I looked for a name, I went through the dictionary, and every description, every word that was associated with black was negative. But I believe onyx was in the Bible. And I said, that's it. That's it. Because I called my friend so many times. I said, what am I going to call it? What am I going to call it? And then when I came across that, I said, that represents black women, strong and black and just, and then it had a nice, it was a short name. I said, that's it. And so it carried us throughout all those years. So there was a lot of guidance in my decisions, too. So I was happy for that. And it stuck, and now it's been a brand for years, and people immediately associate it, because the name of everything is very important, especially when you have a business. And with branding being everything today, you have to make sure that a name associated very well describes what you are selling.
Yeah, and then the surprise, like when somebody looked at your name and said, "Oh, that's the acronym OWN." That you didn't really see that, but you know, it emerged out of that.
And
so
I didn't think much about it.
Yeah, because we're entrepreneurs are smart, but they don't know everything, and some of it just emerges as you go along, you know.
And that's the good. That's why I said when I was wrote about being on the show, the wisdom that you require. The thing about it, when people start a business, they believe that because they have the passion, that's enough. But that is not enough, because passion without profit does not make your business grow. You have to be willing to talk to people who have been where you are, or they're going where you want to go, or they are where you want to be. So you have to understand that no man is an island, and you have to create a team of people. Even if it's not a team where you have a paid PR person and you have this person, if you have volunteers, your family is a team. Who else you can bring on board? Because people try to do this by themselves, and many of them end up failing because you just don't know everything. You're constantly learning, and you have to be willing to learn.
Yeah, I just did a Facebook Live this morning. I was talking about the same thing because I see a lot of people making declarations during this season, but they're not changing. I mean, it's going to be the first challenge they face. They're going to revert back to their comfort zone, which I loved you said earlier, is really the danger zone where growth and entrepreneurship is concerned. And so I wrote this morning, you've got to be reading new things. You've got to be talking to new people, because if you just go back into what you had, you're going to keep doing the same things that you've always done.
Yeah, they said that if you keep doing the same thing in the same way, you get the same results, and that's insanity. It's time to reassess in an honest type of way. It is time to take a look at how you even got here. Why is it? Because I remember I would go through Facebook and I would see people on lavish trips and wearing lavish clothes, and next thing I know, here comes the situation, and they have nothing. They have nothing. Yeah. And if it wasn't this situation, it would have been another situation where there's nothing. Because when you start a business, it is just that. It's a business, and you have to manage the business. And the first thing you have to do is you have to manage the money. You have to, and you have to be able to sell so you can get money. I think everybody who starts a business have to understand they have to sell, because it's, for me, it's the corporations that fund all of my events. I know people who they fund their own event, and so what happened to them, a lot of this happened throughout the year. A lot of people had events this year, and people bought tickets. And because they did not have sponsorships, they really can't afford to pay that money back.
They spent that money.
Because what happens, you begin to pay the caterer, you might pay yourself, and then here comes, oh, no, you can't have that event. And you're like, but I don't have your money. So I even taught a class once how to get sponsorships, because when I got I got quite a few sponsorships. I was having an event yesterday, it was due yesterday, but because I had corporate sponsors, they said, well, whenever you have it, you have it. Because they know that I can't have it. And so I may not even have it this year because it's just so uncertain of what's going on. But because they said, okay, well, whenever you have that. So I was trying to teach people, you have to get out here and get corporations to fund your event. This was devastating to a lot of people because they were, just like people live check to check, they were living event to event or from client to a client, and then there was nothing left. So I hope that as we move forward, that we as entrepreneurs begin to manage the business.
Yeah, and learn our lessons for the next time around. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Ola Jackson, the president of OWN, the Onyx Woman Network. And Ola, within your journey, at some point you started, I believe, having events to honor women. And I believe it's been, 300 plus. Talk to us about that. And, why an award? Why recognition? What were you hoping to achieve and accomplish in doing that?
Well, the very first one we had was for my 25th anniversary. And the women that I rounded up were the women who throughout those years played a role in the success of my business. Those women who spoke on my behalf to their corporations when I needed money for smaller events. Those women who supported me when I really didn't have access to the people or the resources that they have, because I clearly understand you have got to be appreciative. You just cannot let somebody help you and you walk away. So I had remembered years and even decades prior to that event, those people who gave me guidance, gave me tough love, just were there, and they made it possible for me to continue. My real goal was to be there for my son. And when we had my event and I reminded them while we were here, they were like, oh, I forgot I did that. But you have to give back. And so what I do a lot of times, that's why you may see me post on my Facebook, I've supported 10 businesses this month. Because I value what was done for me and how it's impacted my life. And so I try to show these other women, here, I'm going to help you. But what you have to do is pull somebody else up. Don't be selfish. You have to reach back. So, and that has then each year there's 20 more women. Because I think that it, no matter how successful these women are, top of their professions, many have said, you know, sometimes I just don't feel like people notice. And when you say you noticed me like this, it gives me the motivation and inspiration to carry on, no matter how many degrees I have. So I think people do like for someone to say, I see you and I thank you.
Yeah, and come together at a special event where you honor one another too, and and you see your peers and the company that you're with. I think just, you know, adds to the specialness of the event. Now, you have received your share of awards for what you've done.
Yeah.
I'm looking here at the list: Talk Magazine, 100 Most Influential Women in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia Spirit of the Doves, Entrepreneur of the a Woman of the Year, Pittsburgh Black Media Federation. Legend Award, SBA Business Champion Award, the New Pittsburgh Courier Woman of Influence, Robert Morris Alumni Award, Ebenezer Church Woman of Distinction Award, and Negro Business and Professional Women's Business Women of the Year. A silly question. Did one stand out? Is the one in there that really meant the most to you based on your journey, based on what you, the price you paid to get to where you are? And I know they're all special, and you're not saying that, you know, that every organization, it wasn't an honor to stand there. But is there one that stands out that really says, wow, this really says something?
I think the one that says the woman of influence, because I think that's what you want. You want to be able to use your knowledge to influence someone else. But the interesting thing about those awards, my mother said to me one time, why don't you have your awards hanging up in your house? And I said to her, because this is corny but true, the greatest reward that I have ever gotten was to have the ability to get home at 3 o'clock by the time my son got home from his program. And that was the most rewarding thing for me, because I'm very clear on what I value. Because although I love those awards, I just felt that it was so rewarding, and that was my greatest award, to be able to, once I figured out what I truly valued in life, that was the award. But also to be able to influence somebody else. If someone says to you, as a result of what you're doing, then I started this. Because it's, people lose motivation. They really do. And that's something that's lacking if you don't have a coach, because you get despair, you get where you feel like you want to give up, if there's nobody there to say, hang in there, or somebody to say, maybe you need to take a detour. And people mm-hmm. say, oh, well, that's negative. Nope. If someone's telling you the truth, it is not negative, because I'd rather hear the truth than for somebody to just be a yes person and say, oh, yeah, you go, girl, you just keep at it, when in reality you need to take that detour.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think the awards, too, I always talk that power is and power through experience or through success. Mm-hmm. What we do with it is so important, and you've used it to mm-hmm. empower other people. You know, so for somebody that has the credentials that you have to then turn and, as you said, bestow something on somebody else, it's just all mm-hmm. the more meaningful. And I think if I'm hearing you, you don't mind the honors, but you don't need the honors because mm-hmm. you have your own values that you've.
Oh, sure, yeah, and that's important to have, because when you do reach a certain age, and unfortunately it's for some people, they have to reach that age to look back and say, what was really important to me? Because I think that as I was growing up, being the first person in my family to go to college, I was in an era where they taught you to chase after things,
mm-hmm.
that was what made you successful. I grew up around the time, or I was still young around the time that Dynasty was on TV and the show Dallas.
College, yeah.
And everything mm-hmm. was big shoulders, big diamonds, mm-hmm. and big fame and big houses. And it was put in your head that those are the things that define you. And I think throughout life that is pushed on people. And all of a sudden we have a pandemic where no matter how big your car is, you can't really drive because you can't go anywhere. No matter how many clothes you have in your closet, you can't wear them all because you can't go anywhere. So this is such a reality to look at, because there's so many messages, all that stuff that throughout the years we've chased everything but happiness. We've been chasing money, chasing fame. And then when you stand and you think, wow, somebody's coughing on me to wipe me out, but here I am valuing all this mm-hmm. stuff. And then you realize, I am glad to have a roof over my head if my family's healthy. There's food in my refrigerator when somebody else has a bee in the line of a thousand. You know, you really have to – I hope people take mm-hmm. this time and think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like I've said, God has hit the pause button, and soon he's going to hit the reset button. But right now,
uh-huh.
we're still on pause. He sent us home to reflect.
We are still
and
on
to,
pause.
Yeah, but it's going to be a different world. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Ola Jackson. She's been sharing a lot of wisdom. We've talked about seeing things as an opportunity, seeing things as a defining moment. I love the phrase, our comfort zone can very often be our danger zone. And there's another phrase we haven't talked about, Ola, and that is homegirl CEO. That's something that I first heard from you. Talk to us about what that means and what you hope to do with that concept.
Well, Homegirl CEO is basically the book that tells my story and makes it parallel to running a business. Like I was saying, my personal life and managing the life of my son and how there was a relationship to managing a business, the values mm-hmm. that you have and what's important and how I managed being a parent of a child with a disability to how I manage the business, the team wow. that's involved, the effort that's involved, the sacrifices, the risks, yet still keeping your eyes on the prize, and what are the tools you need that are just the basic tools of life, and it parallels to the basic tools of running that business. What are your goals? What are my goals for my son? What are my goals for my business? Mm. How do I engage in self-care as a parent who has to care for someone with a disability? How do I be in self-care running a business? So, and it came from basically working from home and a home girl. Well, being that this situation just happened, I think some different stuff is have to go in there, because women who are going to want to stay in business are going to have to do things differently, and they're going to have to understand that you're going to have to, like I said before, manage the business, be clear that you're going to have to manage your finances, you're going to have to be focused, and you're going to have to build relationships, because I think that we've gotten all into branding where we think that it's having the greatest business card and a pretty website. All of that is fine, but have you built relationships, your integrity? There are other things about that business that go further than what you put on social media.
Speaking of social media, we have to hit home with that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of social media, our generation, and I'm older than you, so I'm not trying to drag you into, you know, into a new age, but our generation, I'll just say, has been ambivalent about social media. You don't seem to be that. Why? Why don't you have the hesitation that many of your peers do about putting stuff out there and accessing people through the media that are available?
Because I think I might have an advantage because I have a marketing degree, so I understand the value of marketing, and I'm basically focused. I choose which platforms basically target my audience, and I have a strategy. Whenever I'm having an event, I just don't promote the event. I leverage those ladies who are getting awards. What you will see, I will announce that event in January. Although I'm having it in May, I keep you engaged until May. I keep you engaged by doing everything from spotlighting each and every woman individually. And so every week you're going back to my website to read about her and all of her friends and her peers and her coworkers are now engaged. The next week somebody else is up there, and I showcase the gifts that are going to be in the boxes. I let you know something about the site more than we're going to have this place, have it at this place. Also, I'll talk more about that place. So it's what you have to do is tell a story. So I start my story in January. I end my story in May before the next story comes. And then I'm selective. I make sure that it's this Facebook, it's this Instagram, it's not everything. So I pick and choose because it's such a strategy that they have content calendars where you have to plan it all out because everything starts with a plan. So there's no random, oh, let me talk about this today. No, there's an intention to why. That's why we have your Stylish Ways Wednesdays, because on Wednesdays, I spotlight something where people can expect it, and they go to my blog. I bring everybody right back to the hub. So you have to have a strategy when you're embracing that social media.
Yeah, and on the page for this show on Blog Talk Radio, I have highlighted the Onyx Woman Network, but that takes you to your website, which is thenewnetworktv.com, thenewnetworktv.com. And there, if you're listening and you want to access the Onyx Woman magazine, Your Stylish Ways blog, and all of the things that Ola just mentioned of the women, this website is chock full of inspiration. And again, I just want to encourage our listeners, if you look at it and say, oh, those are different people, they're in a special category, you're missing the message of what Ola's trying to say. She's trying to show you what is possible for you. Am I correct, Ola?
Very much so, because when I was in school, being the first again to go to college, there was a magazine called Black Enterprise. And because there was no one in my family who was in corporate America, I loved that magazine because I got to see what was possible. And sometimes you don't know what's possible. And, of course, I didn't know that my mother went to about the eighth grade. So I didn't know what was possible. That magazine showed me, and they were like silent mentors. And so people need to see somebody. And because to that particular site, that one is on leadership. how do I leave? Because even people who are in corporate America, they get stressed out, burnt out. I've interviewed people who wanted to commit suicide. They had the money, the position, the title, the bank account, but yet they still was not fulfilled. And just like I said before, we've been taught that things basically define us, so we should get more things. And so, therefore, those women, they tell their story. They talk about abuse and everything else because we tend to look at people and think, oh, wow, they sure do have it all. And they were saying, not exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can learn from them and not put them on a pedestal. But like you said, I talk about having a personal board of directors, you know, and people, we don't have to know them to impact us. We can read about them. They can even be a historical figure that we can pattern our life after. Ola, you have started podcasting. What's that experience been like for you, and what's your philosophy or strategy as you podcast?
It has given me more admiration to podcast. Here's the thing. I started it in January, and I believe that when you start something, you assess it and you ask yourself, is that really for you? Does that fit into your time, and how can you make that work? I put that on hold because it didn't fit into my time. Because I had to book people, tape several shows in one day. And so I believe in whenever you start something like that, it's okay to say, this isn't working for me now. I may pick up on it again. And that's okay. Because everybody in January, everybody started a podcast, started a book, started a blog, started losing weight, started. And so you narrow down and say, this is what works for me. I love the concept of that. I may pick it back up. But at this time, I'm putting more time into the blog. Even that takes a lot of time. But people don't know what they're getting into. That is one thing I would tell to anybody who's starting a business. That's why one of the things I start with the book is assessing yourself, because people will say, oh, my goodness, that was more than just a notion. I tried to do this, and then I realized, because it takes a team. It takes a team, and that's what throws people off and sends them away from their goal. They realize, what does it take for me to do all this?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's more than just good intentions. You have to develop yourself and produce, and then produce and learn from it, and have some failures and learn from those, and always adjusting and learning. We've been talking to Ola Jackson, the president of the Onyx Woman Network. You mentioned future. What's still on the bucket list? You turned 60 this week. I saw your post that you're refiring. What's yet ahead? What do you think lies ahead for Ola Jackson and Own?
Well, I had planned to travel. And that, because I was going to go to New York this year to celebrate some more. That's not going to happen. So I am still working on that resetting and how real does this look. I'm paying attention to whether I feel that we're getting enough leadership that makes me comfortable in planning and the consistency of what we need to do to get back out there. And so, and I'm taking my cues from that, and at this point, I'm not feeling that comfortable. So I'm kind of sitting back to see how this reset is going to look, meanwhile still putting together a what-if plan, because chaos doesn't go good with leadership, and there's a lot of chaos going on. I plan to reach out to corporations for the blog, because that was my goal. Build up the followers so that you can say to a corporation, put money into this. This is an audience mm-hmm. that is ignored, but put money into building this blog and reaching. And we have 7,000 on Instagram. We're growing the blog, so that's pretty much my purpose is of self-care and reaching more women who are boomers.
Yeah, yeah. We've just got a couple of minutes. Final words of encouragement, of exhortation, of summary, from things that we talked mm-hmm. about or maybe we haven't talked about.
I would just encourage people to – let me get some water here.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage people to engage in self-care regardless of what their plans are. When this all happened, I was so glad that at least I had been taking care of myself. People are stressed
mm-hmm.
out
mm-hmm.
because they can't get out. They don't work out. And so I'm glad that my life included starting every morning by doing something for myself for mental clarity, to be physically well at 60, that those things are put into place over a decade ago. So it's
mm-hmm.
so it's amazing how you when you set things in motion that you never know years down the road you'd think, oh my goodness, I'm so glad at 60 I only take one medication,
mm-hmm.
I feel good, I like how I look, so I have been preparing for all this, and I say to anybody, you say you want to do it, but people don't do it. Take
yeah.
care of yourself, what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's 10, 15 minutes in the morning. Do something. Do your meditation, yoga, whatever. Because some
mm-hmm.
of the things that we've chased after, at this point, they don't matter that much
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true. Like you said earlier, we got gas in our tanks and clothes in our closet, and we got no place to go. No place.
And no place to go.
Yeah, but it is so
no
important
to
do
go.
That. And it's obvious you do it
mm-hmm.
Because of what you're producing and because of the, you know, mental alertness that you have, the
mm-hmm.
self-awareness that you have. It really is a wonderful model for women and people everywhere to
mm-hmm.
Follow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wish you, the best in your future. May the 61st year and all the years after that be the best you've ever had. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And we look forward to continued great things from you and from the network and from all the things that you put your hand to do.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes, take care. God bless, and again,
okay.
Happy birthday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have Ola Jackson. I knew it would be a good interview. She's quite a dynamic lady, and she knows what she wants and where she's going. And I wouldn't divorce some of what she said from just her purpose. When I wrote this week, what you see so naturally, you may think everybody sees. It's obviously she is gifted in what she has done, but you're just as gifted in what you are created to do. And you have the same kind of insight. You have the same kind of dynamic present in your life. So I want to encourage you to make the most of it. Take the step, learn from her story and apply it to your world, whatever your world may be. Well, that wraps it up for another week of Wake Up to Purpose here. And I want to thank you for listening or later if you're listening, I want to thank you. But I'm not sure the schedule next week. We're going to have a new roof put on our house and things are going to be torn up here and noisy. And so I'm just kind of assessing what my schedule is going to be next week. But we will be coming at you. I've already talked to some people about being guests. We'll have some good shows, and as we always do. But in the meantime, spread the word about Wake Up to Purpose. Share the link. Download it. Share it with other people. But until we're together again, this is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. And I just want to encourage you, until we meet again, you be about the work of fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.